There is one intelligence, one infinite, vast intelligence who creates the cosmos and all of the beings within the universe who appear and disappear. It's a fractal dream field. And so the mind of God produces the universe, and the universe becomes filled with beings, and each of those beings at a microcosmic level has the same creative capacities, so that humans can manifest their own creativity. But the level of that creativity has gone down as we have lost our sense of being pure spirit, and then lost below that, we became under the influence of the belief that we are souls, and then we began to identify just as matter. And then the final ideological fall in the end of Kali Yuga, most of the human beings became atheists and materialists and body identified, even if they are believers in religious constructs, but body identified and identified with a particular character, which is one tiny fragment of our infinite consciousness. And so we have lost the fullness of our power of creation. And the only way to get that back is to disidentify from the part object that is the ego mind and realize our true nature as the whole. But so long as one is identified only with a part, then one will be ruled by fear. And one will be ruled by that samsaric state of mind in which you think your security comes from clinging to other people, to pets, to money, to comfort zones of various kinds, biological families, and armies and ideological groupings and that sort of thing. Whereas the only real security is the return to the rapturous realization of our deathless self. And the deathless self is the one self. It's not the soul level. You see, we have to go through three deaths. And especially now, because during the earlier part of Kali Yuga and the previous yugas, we would only go through two at best. But the body will die without whether you want it to or not. It has a limited shelf life. But very often, the ego does not die before the body dies. And then the ego has to go through the meat grinder of a bardo state to get its sanskaras separated out from its imaginary form and attachment to the name and to the situation that it was in while alive, so it won't be a poltergeist or have some other earthbound time in a hell realm. So it has to go through that because there has to be death of the ego. So yogis want to go through the death of the ego before the death of the body. So then there is no need to go through a bardo deviation and therefore a rebirth, because the sanskaras will still need to be fulfilled or dissolved by conscious renunciation and surrender to God. And then we have to go through the third death, which is the death of the soul. The soul itself has to be done with its journey through time in order to express its creative functions to the full, and must at a certain point be ready, willing, and fully able, and yearning to dissolve back into the source of the soul's being. And this is that moment when all souls will be drawn back, but those who voluntarily do this retain a continuity of consciousness that will enable the serving of the soul in the angelic realm. And it's by serving as angels that the highest kind of good karma is attained, that then produces a very high level of participation in the following cycle or graduation from the cycle. So this is the time when we are determining our destiny, and it requires going through these three deaths and doing it with grace, not with fear and not with trepidation, not with any sense of identification with what is dying, but only with what is deathless. And what is deathless is pure awareness. And in order to go through ego death, we must stay in that state of pure awareness, pure presence. Presence that is not identified with the thoughts of the ego. And even if one doesn't yet have the power to stop those thoughts because of one's total absorption in God, via one's love of God, one's adoration, one's yearning for union, which will end the thought processing, except for those thoughts that are given by God to be transmitted into the dream field. Even before then, if one disidentifies from the thoughts, and from the character as the thinker of those thoughts, then one is no longer disturbed by the character's habits, idiosyncrasies, attitudes, attachments, whatever. And it by not being disturbed by it or interested and invested in it, they will gradually weaken, and because you're not breathing life into them, you're not ratifying them, the character will gradually receive the shakti that enables a complete transformation of the character to reflect the state of pure presence, which is God consciousness, that will then turn the vehicle into a servant of God, into a reflection that is able to function flawlessly, impeccably, as an instrument of love and of wisdom and of contentment. So, the more we disidentify from all attitudes, from all emotional reactions, from all behavior patterns, from all of the ego's drives and its conflicts and its suffering of the agony of not being adored and not having the power it wants and not having all of the other things and connections that it believes will bring it peace of mind or some kind of safety and security, because those needs can not be met on the phenomenal plane. The only way to be free of the suffering is through that disinvestment and realization that you are not and never were that character. You are the intelligence that created that character as one of many in the play. The play is from the mind of God. The play has much more reality than any character in it, but the play itself is simply a reflection of the wisdom of God that becomes manifest through the unfoldment of karma that brings one gradually to a state of maturation and acceptance, in which, through not fighting against the reabsorption in God, the wisdom and the clarity that all of this is already perfect comes to one. And it's the moment that that insight into the perfection of all that is, the moment that happens, one is totally disinterested in the unfoldment of one's character, one's ego form in this theodrama. It will no longer matter to one. It's not a question of, oh, I have to transform the ego, I have to make it more virtuous, I have to, no. That's, everything happens only through the will of God, not through the will of the soul, and certainly not through the illusion of free will of the ego. Nothing can happen through the intermediary vehicles. Whatever does happen is ordained by the one intelligence, whether your character knows it or not. It's not being done by the character. And as soon as you know you are not the character, then it becomes irrelevant how the character actually behaves and lives. Not irrelevant in a nihilistic sense, but irrelevant in the sense that it's all being taken care of by God. And that total trust and that total realization that you are only presence, not an agent who is here to make things better, but you are an agent of the one who alone can make things better and whose function now is to terminate a process that has already become too degraded and perverted to be allowed to continue, so that suffering will end through the will of that perfect being whom you are. And the more that you are clear that that is who you are, not the character, nor the soul who dreamed that particular character, but the dreamer of the entire dream. Once you realize that each of us can only be a manifestation of that one self, because that one self is the only real self, the only real self. And if you are in that resonance, you are indeed one with that being, and deathless and timeless and fearless and in the blissful adoration of your creation. And the creation and the creator are one. And it's in this state of non-duality where the perfection is recognized, nothing needs to be done, nothing needs to be changed. Nothing needs to be improved. It's that recognition of perfection that allows the final letting go and the total trust in the one self who is doing everything, the only one who actually does anything. And the more one resonates with that oneself and with love, the more one's character reflects that self's will.